Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Who did this?
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, here's the odd part of this. And all of a sudden...
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I went to the movies yesterday. Don't ask me what I saw, I don't remember. But I saw a 3D movie. Can you name the 3Ds? I don't know what they are. I think it's don't smoke, don't drink, don't have sex with your neighbor. Did you know that life is in 3D? You kind of forget that sometimes. You go to a movie and you go, whoa, look at this, it's like three-dimensional. Hey, Bozo, your life is three-dimensional. Don't be so much in awe of that. It's like, wow, are you losing sight of like what is really here? I found that watching television is a lot more exciting than actually doing what's on television. Oh, it's true. They have a video of like going through the Grand Canyon, and I've not been to the Grand Canyon, but I'm kind of figuring like watching going through the Grand Canyon is better than going through it because there's no bugs. It's like comfortable. I can sit in my underpants and watch it. So I don't have to worry about falling down into the canyon and breaking my legs. So, like, watching it on TV is so much more enjoyable. It's like a football game. Why would you go to a football game? Why would you go to a baseball game? So the people behind you can spit on you and drop their popcorn and ice cream on your head? And it's so much better. Hey, you want a hot dog? Go to your kitchen and get a hot dog while you watch it on TV. And you can see the players' faces, and you can see what they're doing. You can watch them spit on the ground and chew their tobacco and watch the sweat pouring from their foreheads. You can see that on TV. You can't see that if you're sitting in a stadium. Why do you go to a game? Oh, because I like the atmosphere. You like that? I went to a hockey game once. You know the joke, don't you? I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. I went to a hockey game and I watched the Boston Bruins play against somebody else. Who cares? And I'm sitting there and people are screaming and standing up right in front of me. So if something wonderful is happening, all of a sudden everybody stands up in front of me and I can't see what the hell's going on and I miss it myself. It's so stupid. It's so stupid, and it's like $200-$300 a seat, you know, and like, come on, give me a break. For $200-$300 a seat, I could go out to an office supply place and buy myself a seat. I could go to a chair place and buy a chair. That would be only a third of the price. I mean, seriously. So I'm watching this hockey game, and I don't know if you've been to a hockey game. You're probably familiar with it. The object of our affection is this small little black puck. It's a puck. It's not even a disc. It's not a game object. It's a puck. Even the name of it is just kind of stupid. I can't see the puck from where I'm sitting in this big arena. And even if you watch hockey on television, You can't see the puck. So, like, how do you know what's going on? The answer is, it's where all the players are. I can't see the puck. I can't see what they're doing with it. But that most of them are congregated over in that area. So the puck's probably there. I never know if anybody scores a goal. I have to wait until that little red light on top of the net lights up, and then people stand up and you can't see anything anyway. Hockey is the stupidest thing to witness live. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a bunch of guys skating around on the ice. It's beautiful, but it just doesn't make any sense. And then they're always fighting each other. Why do fights break out at hockey and no other place? I mean, sometimes you'll see a baseball game where the dugout clears out because the pitcher hit the batter by mistake with one of his fastballs, you know. I get that. And then they clear out the dugout and everybody starts doing punches at each other. That doesn't happen every game. Football, yeah, you know, it's a rough sport. One might push the other, a referee steps in, breaks it up. That's as far as it goes. Soccer, a fight? Seriously? They're too tired to fight. They're just running around for 7 hours, or what seems like 7 hours. They don't have enough energy to throw a blow at another player. Kidding me? They don't even have the energy to run around anymore. Soccer is so boring, especially when the ball goes out of bounds. Oh my God! And nothing happens for 7 hours. And basketball. You get a shove here and there. You don't get a fight. You get a shove. A shove is not a fight. It's pushing somebody in the proper direction is all it is. But hockey, give me a break. Seriously, golf. Did you ever see a fight break out in golf? Never. If you did, the player would be like not only thrown out of the club. I mean, they would be banished to Siberia, or possibly the death penalty. And I'm not talking about a bogey or whatever that is. I don't even know the terms. I don't even know what bogey means. It's the stupidest bogey. So who came up with that? Let's call it a bogey. What are you, high? What does that mean? Bogey? Are you just making words up now? But hockey, man, they'll just like take the gloves off and just start pounding each other. That's why none of them have any teeth. Seriously. And what do the referees do? They just stand there and watch them fight. I'm not getting in there. These guys got skates on. I'm not getting in there. If hockey players were like really, really into fighting, one of them would take their skate off and just slash the other person's head off with the sharp blades. But they don't go that far. I believe that's murder. See, that's what I don't understand. There can be a fight during a spectator sport, but if you do it in real life, your ass gets slapped in jail. I think that's what should happen in sports. If anybody like throws a punch at somebody, that's assault and battery. I think the cops should come out. I think there should be like a little police siren and flashing light on a Zamboni, and they should arrest the person that threw the punch. Arrested the hockey player. I don't see why not. What are they, above the law? Like a president? Are they above the law? Sports are weird, man. I think I've talked to you about this before, but the most relaxing sport in the world is golf. I love golf. It's so stupid. It's a bunch of grown men wearing pastel pants. That's an oxymoron. Wearing pastel pants, so walking around with a metal stick and a small little ball with dimples in it. And they're cute. Look at those dimples in the ball. And they walk around and they try to hit it in a hole. This is like a sport. This is it. This is it. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. There's no animals involved. Nothing happens, really. They just walk from hole to hole and they hit the ball with the stick and then they go chase it and hit it again. And the person that hits it the least times wins. Golf is amazing that way because the lower skull, I can't even say the word score, the lower score wins. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful in any other sport? Hey, it's 72-30. I win. I got 72. No, it's golf. I win. I got the lower score. Wow, you're confusing me. Lower score in golf wins. Strange. Very, very, very strange. Then there's tennis. That's fun to watch because you're just waiting for somebody to make a mistake. I love games where you're just waiting for somebody to make a mistake. The player that makes a mistake, that's how you lose. You have to kind of beat yourself. It's not the other person making you lose. You made yourself lose. You missed that ball. Very strange sport with the tennis and the scoring of it. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 you win. It's you start 0-0, and then all of a sudden, if you don't get anything, it's love. Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of like a microcosm of life. Yeah. If you have love, that means you got nothing. Wow, that's poignant. Yeah, I played tennis today. The first game was 40 to love. 40? They scored 40 points against you? No, actually, it was only 3. What are you talking about? Yeah, the third point is called 40. Oh, come on, stop it. And the other person had nothing. They had love. Well, at least they had love. It's so stupid. It's unbelievable. The scoring system is so stupid. I got a point. I got 15. What do you mean you got 15? You just got 1 point. Yeah, that's 15. Wow. Either you don't know how to count or you're really like not scoring properly. No, I got 15. I got a point. I got 15. Wow. Strange. Very, very strange. I got 2 points. Now I got 30. Okay, so we're scoring everything in increments of 15 is what we're doing, right? Yeah, it's 15, 30. Oh, I scored another point. Oh, you got 45? No, 40. What? This doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's 15, 30, and then it's 45, I think, or 40. It's 40. You're just making numbers up. You know who invented tennis? Someone really bad at math. I can't add. I don't know how to do math, but I can sure hit a ball with a racket. Yeah, because you don't know how to add. So we're tied now, right? We're tied 40-40. Yeah, it's deuce. Excuse me? It's deuce. You have to douche? What did you say? It's deuce. We're tied. Well, then say you're tied. What are you making up with the deuce for? What are you talking about with deuce? Yeah, it's deuce. You have the same amount as I have. We're deuced. So if it's like 30-30, that's deuce too? No, that's not deuce. Has to be 40-40 to be deuce. What kind of world are you in? All right, now it's deuce. All right, I just got a point. I win. No, you have an advantage. Excuse me? No, you don't win. But it's not tied anymore. I have more points than you do. Yeah, you have an advantage. I have an advantage now. I got an advantage. I'm a little advantage on you. Now, if I have 2 advantages, then I win. Wow. So then you win the game and we're done. No, we have to win a lot of games to make it a set. All right. So then we got the set going and then that person wins. Now you have to win a number of sets and then you've got the match. All right, stop it. That's enough. Would you stop it? Just stop it. There's no point to playing this game because no one knows how to score it. It's like golf, man. Golf's weird, too. You know how you score golf? With a tiny little pencil. Golf has got to be the cheapest sport in the world. They never give you a whole pencil. They give you half a pencil. What's that about? I'm walking around with a tiny little pencil. It's embarrassing. Can I borrow your pencil? here. The hell's this? The hell's this? It's a golf pencil. The hell is this? Did you ever play miniature golf? There I can see the miniature pencils. That makes sense. If you're going to play little golf, you get little pencils. But if you're going to play 18 holes on a full golf course, have some respect. Give me more than a little pencil. Well, you're one to talk, walking around with your pastel pants. and you want a big pencil? I don't think so. What drives me crazy, really, in golf, you know, you get no exercise unless you walk the course. And it's beautiful. They mow the lawn. It's a beautiful, that's a lot of lawn to mow. It's beautiful. There's a lot of green all over the place. It's a beautiful area. Well, girl, let's hit the ball a little bit and take a walk to the ball and hit it again. But some guys have golf carts, motorized golf carts. Little cars like the Flintstones had. Hey, I'm going to go out and get some exercise. I'm going to stand in front of a ball, hit it, and then get into my little car with my little pencil. I will virtually get no exercise whatsoever. My Fitbit will not even register this. My Fitbit just says, I give up. You're way too lazy. You go out and play a game, but you don't move. It's kind of odd. Yes, you know, I was not brought up with any kind of sports mentality whatsoever. Other kids on my block, were playing sports games all the time, playing baseball and playing in the street and running around. I just sat there on the steps in front of my house, and I basically looked at all the kids running around and playing and said, you fools, you're just exhausting yourself. Why would you exhaust yourself to this extent? That was me when I was like 5 years old. Look at these foolish people running around and sweating and making believe they're having a good time. No, man. Sitting on my front steps, relaxing, this is where it's at. That's how I spent all of my life. Sitting on the front steps, just watching everybody else exhaust themselves. That's pretty much it. So do I go many places? No. No, I don't. I watch everything on television. I have traveled the world. I have seen some of the most beautiful places on this planet, all in the comfort and air conditioning of my living room, with a refrigerator but one room away. And if that ain't living, I don't know what is. Saves me money on hotels, air, fare. Well, you think it's fun to fly? What, are you serious? Or I love to fly. No, you don't. You got a baby sitting next to you and some woman that just ate like 2 pounds of garlic. And you're sitting in a tube with a little window with no aisle, bathroom, size of a cardboard box. That's fun for you? Sitting on a tarmac, delayed takeoff for 2 hours. This is fun for you? Sitting in traffic to get to the airport, sitting in traffic to get out of the airport. This is fun for you? I cut that all out. I don't even watch that on TV. I just get to the source. I'm in the Grand Canyon simply by hitting a button on the remote. It used to be, I used to have to sit there and wait for a show about the Grand Canyon. I don't care about the Grand Canyon. I'm just using it as an example. I'd have to wait for a show about the Grand Canyon to go to the Grand Canyon on my TV screen. I don't have to wait anymore. No. I can just take my remote control, turn on my TV, type in Grand Canyon, and I am there. I'm watching a number of videos about the Grand Canyon. And not only the beautiful scenery, but also the history of it. Something that when one travels, one wants to hear, but not from a stupid tour guide. Here I can sit in a very comfortable chair. Well, Ron, you know, you should go out and get some exercise. All right, then I'll watch the Grand Canyon video sitting on an exercise bike. Does that make you happy? Now, I'm not a shut-in or anything like that. I'm exaggerating for theatrical purposes in order to make this somewhat interesting. I do go out, and I do often regret it. We don't even go out to shop anymore. Shopping used to be fun. You'd get in your little vehicle and drive to a mall or to a store, and you'd walk around and look at clothes or try them on, look at different products and gifts and different items, and just shop around. You didn't have to buy anything. Can I help you, sir? No, I'm just looking. I'm going to spend the day just looking. What's so bad about that? I'm getting exercise. I'm walking through your store. That used to be a thing. Don't even do that anymore. Hey, you know, we need a toaster. You want to go down the store and look at toasters? No, just go online. Go on Amazon. You can choose your toaster there. They'll have it to you in 2 days. You don't like it, you send the toaster back. You don't even have to leave your house. The package comes to your door. You don't even have to go out. Well, you know, if you're a shut-in, you really got it made now. This is the year of the shut-in. You don't have to leave your house or your apartment ever. What about food shopping? No, they got stuff for that too. They'll deliver the food to you. We've talked about this before with the Walmart people. I don't know what's up with them. They come up with thousands of ideas. None of them really seem to work. They'll have a Walmart employee bring your groceries. If you shop at Walmart, they have food now in some of the locations, you know. Not just on the floor, but in actual, you know, down the aisles and in, on shelves and stuff. And you can call in your food order to Walmart, and they'll deliver your packages. And if you give them the passcode to your house, you know, a little special key that lets Walmart employees come in and ravage your home when you're not there, they will actually take the groceries and put them in your refrigerator and then leave your house if you're not home. Or you could do it while you are home. They'll just deliver it. They say, Walmart, we have your groceries. Okay, come on in. Could you put it away, please? Could you put them in the refrigerator for me? I am so freaking lazy, I won't even do that. Okay, ma'am, we do provide the service, whatever. What is that? Walmart is now bringing groceries into your house and putting them in the refrigerator for you. I mean, soon they'll have like a service where, hey, it's Walmart, we're here for the night. You wanted to have sex in your bed, and here we are. We'll do it. You paid for it. We'll do it. I don't know. Is that next? 3D. Don't drink. I know that's one of them. Don't do drugs. That's two of them. Can't remember the third one. Oh, don't do a talk show. That's the third. It's got to be the third. There's no other explanation for this. Well, it probably is. I just don't know what it is. Oh, man.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Let's talk about your eyes. I don't even know what color they are. Do you ever have somebody approach you or on the phone or something and say, do you even look at me? Do you even know what color my eyes are? I have no idea. I never look at I look at people's eyes, but it doesn't register what color they are because I'm not racist. I guess I'm about the only one that isn't. Hey, like Trump says, you know what Trump says, you know, I am the least racist person that you'll ever meet. Ooh, Don, I've met a lot of people. You are the most racist. Maybe not the most racist. I've met people more racist than you. I should say I've never met any more despicable than you. That's probably a better category. That just kind of covers everything. Anyway, let's talk about kids and how they abuse their eyes like we did when we were kids. Do you remember that? Let's speak to our guest.
Hey, Ron, this is Dr. Bazan from Think About Your Eyes. How are you doing
this morning? Hey, how are you doing? Dr. Justin Bazan. Great. This is Dr. Justin Bazan. He is a doctor of optometry. And we're talking about taking care of your eyes here. I guess there are some interesting statistics as far as eye care is concerned for us.
Yeah. So, Ron, Think About Your Eyes surveyed about 1,000 parents who have kids from age 2 to 17. And there was three main misconceptions that we found, and it's a tremendous opportunity to help educate those parents. The first one was surrounding UV protection in kids. The second one was having to deal with the effects of screen time on our kids. And the third one had to deal with when we need to bring our kids in to get their eyes examined. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about each of those three.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's start off with how children's eyes might be different than adults' eyes, why it's so important.
Well, believe it or not, children's eyes and parents' eyes are very similar.
Yeah.
They need just as much protection from the UV and the sun as parents' eyes do. And one of the surprising things that we learned is that out of the parents surveyed, the parents are twice as likely to protect their own eyes than their kids' eyes, which kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
So regardless of age, the sun does not discriminate. We need to make sure that when we're outside, we are protecting our eyes from the sun's damaging rays and that we do have our sun protection on.
Absolutely. Is there any damage done to the eyes when you squint?
So squinting usually is a factor of not having your sunglasses on when you're out in the bright light.
Yeah.
So sunglasses serve a few different purposes. They help us see better, but they also protect us from that UV.
Uh-huh.
UV causes cumulative and irreversible damage to our eyes, so that's why we want to start from a very young age and protect our eyes.
Okay.
We don't want to end up with early cataracts or put ourselves more at risk for conditions such as macular degeneration, which robs us of our central vision.
Boy, I wish you would have told me that like 50 years ago.
Well, that's why you're important. We're getting the message out there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I thought sunglasses was just a thing where you could see better, but I didn't think that the sun did damage to your eyes. I was always told never stare directly into the sun, but that was about it as far as the sun was concerned. This is new to me.
Yeah, and also a source where we want to make sure we're protecting our eyes is the prevention of nearsightedness or myopia.
Uh-huh.
And we know that half of the parents that were surveyed said their kids are going to be spending lots of time using digital devices and on screens. So more than 4 hours as they travel to and from their vacation destination. And once they get there, they said that their kids are going to be on their digital devices for more than 6 hours.
True.
And we know that those digital device uses is affecting our eyes and has been implicated in the development of nearsightedness or myopia. Now, myopia, the higher amounts are associated with higher risk factors for sight-threatening conditions and damage to the eyes. So we want to make sure that once we get to our destinations that you are on our way to destinations, that the kids are putting the digital devices down and that we're getting them outside. Being outside for about 90 minutes a day has a protectorate effect on our kids' eyes, and it helps stave off the onset of myopia.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the broader picture now that you brought this up. I was told not to watch a lot of television when I was a kid because it can hurt my eyes, and that probably is the case. Now we have jobs where you sit in front of a computer for 8 hours, or kids are actually have computers in schools. So, I mean, is that still the case? I mean, are we just like ignoring staring at screens almost occupationally?
Yeah, well, we know that it's hard to avoid screen time, but definitely limiting screen time is an important thing to do.
Wow.
But most importantly, if they put the digital device down and get outside, that's going to be the biggest benefit for our children.
Wow. Okay. Boy, we got to be careful what we're doing to ourselves and in many regards, not only to our eyes. My goodness. Okay. Now, frequency of seeing an optometrist or eye doctor, if you're a kid, you would call an eye doctor. How frequent should it be if you're a child?
This is where I think the biggest opportunity to educate parents lies, because only 8% of the parents believe their children should have 3 comprehensive eye exams before they start school, and 40% believe that the vision one exam is enough. So that's definitely not the case. We know that babies need to make sure that they are going to have normal visual development and that their eyes are healthy. So kids from 6 months to a year definitely want to get them checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have them back when they're three.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love to see them back before they actually start their first day of school. So that's three exams before they start school to ensure that they're going to have healthy eyes and normal visual development.
Yep.
And then oftentimes one of the biggest myths is that my kids already had their eyes checked. You know, the pediatrician got their, you know, did their eye exam for them, or the school nurse did their eye exam.
Yeah.
In fact, those are just vision screenings. And while they can pick up some serious conditions, we know that vision screenings fall short. And the only real way to make sure that your eyes are healthy, that you're seeing your best, and that your eyes are working as a team is to have that annual comprehensive eye exam with your eye doctor.
Okay. And that starts at what age?
6 months to a year is when we first like to see them in, as infants.
As on an annual basis?
Yeah. So it's 6 months to a year, age three, and then before their first day of school. And then every year they're in school on an annual basis, because we know that the health of their eyes can change, and we know that vision can change. We want to make sure that since learning is so dependent on great eyesight and healthy eyes, is that we do have them in every year. And you know what? This is the perfect time to do it. It's when families are traveling, and we want to make sure that the kids see the sights. We also know that the downtime that they have before school starts is a great time. So this back to school is a perfect time to set up the annual comprehensive eye exam with your eye doctor.
Very good.
And if you don't have a great eye doctor, thinkaboutyoureyes.com is the best place to go to learn more. And also find a local doctor that's going to give you that eye exam.
Okay. Do you believe in the eye vitamins?
So one of the best things you can do to make sure that your eye stays healthy is have proper nutrition and basically not smoke. So don't smoke, eat well, and get your annual comprehensive eye exam, and your eyes should stay in good shape for a long time.
All righty. Well, I learned a lot from you today. That's pretty cool. Also, I'll say one more thing. I did a whole show last week about the fact that eyeglasses are sexy. And that's we're talking about kids, so I guess that doesn't really fall into place. But I just love the way that eyeglass wear has become so cool. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, you got teased. Now it's like, whoa, you look good. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I have kids faking that they can't see just so they get a cool pair of glasses.
Yeah, I know.
So fashionable. If it doesn't look good, they're not going to wear it. But we're lucky now that there are so many different types of styles of fashion,
man. And
you know, kids really enjoy wearing both their sunglasses and their regular glasses.
I think it's fantastic. I really do. Okay, again, where do we go for more information?
So head over to thinkaboutyoureyes.com to learn more, and also to find a local eye doctor.
Dr. Justin Bazan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. That was fun. Well, I'll be back again the next time a weekday rolls around, because we do this every single weekday. I hope you become part of the family. I don't know why that's funny to me, but I chuckled inside. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.